we have, can you hear me all right?
Yep.
All right, because we have those little, yeah, there they are. All right, welcome everybody to the November, I'm sorry, not November. the May 7th NCBVI Commission Board Meeting here in Norfolk, Nebraska. Like to call the meeting to order. And we'll get to introductions here in just a minute, but just a couple quick housekeeping announcements. First off, if you have the need, the restrooms are out, that they're a little bit of a trek, so get your track shoes on. They're out this door, make a right, and go all the way down till you can't go to the right any further. You'll be in another hallway. You make a left, and you go all the way to the end of that hallway, and just before it turns to tile, make a right, and you will find a dividing wall that divides the hallway in half, and they're on the left side of the dividing wall. So, get out your GPS. But anyway, they're a little bit of a trek. At certain times during the meeting, we will have public comment periods. We'd ask that you hold your comments until those times. When we come to those times, we will first start by taking a list of names of individuals who would like the opportunity to speak, and then we will ask you to come forward, or we'll bring you a microphone. But we'd like to make sure that your comments are picked up by the recording equipment so that they can be entered into the minutes properly and correctly. And once we reach the end of that list, we'll ask again, and if there's anyone else that wanted to speak, and then we'll move on. There are a copy of the Open Meeting Act in the back of the room here. I believe there's also copies of the agenda here. Actually, they're up front here. There's copies of the agenda if you did not receive one and would like one.
Print and in Braille.
These are here in print and Braille.
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah.
Take a Braille one, please.
Okay.
Me too.
Sure, that's what they're here for. As I indicated already, the meeting is being recorded. Lunch arrangements, we'll read through the agenda here in a little bit, but we're going to try to get through the bulk of the meeting prior to lunch. And so the only piece of the meeting that will be, I believe, that will be left after lunch is going to be Dr. Van Zandt's annual review, and that will be an executive session, so the room will be closed. We will come back from executive session after that to announce what our decision is. If you would like to stay for that, you're more than welcome to. It'll be just a few moments, again, in open session, and then we would be adjourning for the day. So the bulk of the meeting is going to be prior to lunch. Lunch is going to be available in the restaurant down the hall here, if you're interested. I think that the board is going to possibly eat lunch here. We're going to get ours to go and come back here. Other logistics, I guess, real quick, just Kathy, could you tell us about the proof of publication for the meeting, where it was posted?
The notice of the meeting was published in the Lincoln Journal Star, the state government calendar, NCBVI website, NFB Newsline, and Radio Talking Book. The notice was also sent to ACBN, NFBN, and the NCBVI listserv.
Okay. Wonderful. With that, we'll go around and do introductions, and then we'll ask Robert to read down through the agenda for today. So my name's Mike Hansen. I'm the chairman of the board for the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and I represent the interests of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, and I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska. Robert.
Yes, all right. So Robert Newman. I live in Omaha, and I'm the co-chair of the board. Thanks for coming, guys.
Now, Chad Bell from Alliance, Nebraska.
Mark.
Okay. Mark Bolger. I'm the American Council of the Blind designee on this board. I'm from Omaha.
And Becky Reakin, Executive Secretary from Dakota City.
Yeah. I'm Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director of the Commission, and I live in Lincoln.
I'm Kathy Stevens, Administrative Assistant in Lincoln.
Jim Urock, American Council of Blind in Nebraska, former state president, former chair, member of the board, vice chair, sheriff, or whatever hat I'm wearing today, too. Member of the public.
Tracy Bradley. I'm a member of the public.
Gwen Whithelm. I am a member of the Friends of the Commission, and I'm also here as a member of the public.
John Schmidt, rehab counselor here at the Norfolk office of the commission.
Dan Bird, driver from Omaha, and I'm doing the recording.
Well, welcome everyone. Thank you for coming. We especially are welcome the members of the guests and the members of the public that are here. Thank you for taking time out of your day to come and join us. We look forward to any comments that you have. Robert, if you would go ahead and read through the agenda for us, please.
Yes. Okay, 9 o'clock, call to order. Welcome and introductions. Announcement concerning public comment periods. Meeting agenda. Open Meeting Act. Proof of publication. Recordings, lunch arrangement, and logistics. 9:10, approval of the February 6th public meeting minutes. 9:15, approval of the minutes from the March 12th commissioners retreat. 9:20, Commissioner's Report. 9:30. Report from the Executive Director. All right. Unfinished business. 9:40. Business and biennium update. 10:10. Newsline update. 10:15, Client Assistance Program, CAP, Complaints or Issues. 10:20, Nebraska Business Enterprise, that's NEB update. Next section here, New Business. 10:40, discuss and act on the approval of the Executive Director's time certification. 10:45, discuss and act on the approval of employee in-state and out-of-state travel. 10:50, public comment. 11:05, break. 11:20, discuss and act on the approval of the Executive Director's participation on the National Blindness Professional Certification Board, NBPCB. Sounds like a disease. 1125, review proposed changes to the commission board job description. 1140, discuss board participation in commission events. 1155, discuss memo regarding retirement or resignation of the executive director. 1205, public comment. 1220, typical final announcements. 1225, lunch. 1:25, executive session for executive director evaluation. 2:25, act on the retention of the executive director and her salary. 2:35, adjournment.
All right, thank you, Robert. And the only comment I'll make about the agenda was just I said earlier during the lunch arrangements that the board would probably eat lunch in here, and so we will probably start the executive session a little early so that we can adjourn for the day a little early as well. So that's one shortcut we're going to take to try to speed things along a little bit today. So the next item on the agenda was the approval of the minutes from our February 6th public meeting. Those minutes have already been sent to the board, and we have already submitted any corrections so that they were as accurate, any corrections that we had for them, and those have been updated and placed on the NCBVI website already. So we'll do a roll call vote now to approve those minutes. Becky?
I need a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
I make a motion we approve the February board minutes.
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. A roll call vote then. Becky?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Chad?
Yes.
And yes, myself, yes as well. So that unanimously moves forward. The next item on the agenda was the approval of the minutes from the March 12th commissioners retreat. Again, those have been posted on the NCBVI website for anyone's else review. The commissioners have already received them, reviewed them, and supplied any corrections. Do I hear a motion to approve those minutes?
I make the motion to approve the March 12th retreat.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, it's been a motion's been made and seconded to approve the minutes from the March 12th commissioners retreat. Roll call vote then. Again, Becky?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Chad?
Yes.
And I vote yes. So those the minutes from the past two meetings have been approved. And then the next item on the agenda is the commissioner's report. Just for the public's sake, some of the items that the board members have been working on since our last meeting. Obviously, we all attended a retreat in Kearney, Nebraska on March 12th, and during that time, it's I guess a better name for it is really like a board member orientation. We've done them when we have new members to the board come, and we just talk about the job, how the board functions, and gives us an opportunity to get a little more comfortable with the position and answer any of those types of questions. So we all participated in that. Besides that, I've been working some with Wes Majerus and the Office of the CIO to continue to try to work to improve the method in which the commission board shares information. One of the things I'm doing up here today is updating thumb drives that we share so that we all have the same information on the thumb drive. Another item that has come up and was that the, and we'll talk about later today, but the state auditor came in and did one of their periodic audits of the NCBBI, and I was involved in that process just a little bit, but at the end came in yesterday for the closing conference and review of the reports, as the draft reports that will be finalized here in the next few days and come out in a week or in a couple weeks. So does anybody else have anything that they'd like to add?
I have something to share.
Sure. Go ahead, Becky.
I went to a Spring Fling in Nebraska City, and for all TBIs and... Oh.
She has a microphone.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the public can hear you.
Sorry. Thank you.
Thanks. I went to a Spring Fling in Nebraska City this spring. Obviously, that's why it's called Spring Fling. And it was where a group of teachers for students with visual impairments meet, and other disciplines. And the keynote speaker there was a Dr. Wolf, who has a lot of education background and transition background. And also Shane Burrish was there to give a presentation on the commission. And what was really neat was that when Dr. Wolf was giving her presentation, that she stressed the need for collaboration with the commission. So it was awesome that it kind of segued into Shane's presentation. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that it, she supported and encouraged everyone else to be supportive and to work together with the commission. So I thought that was great.
Great. Thank you, Becky. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
I'll go next.
Okay,
since the last commissioner's meeting, I did have the opportunity to attend the vendor licensees quarterly meeting and found that to be very informative. In February, I had the opportunity, along with Jim Urok from the ACB, to go to Washington, D.C., and we met with Senators Ben Sasse and Senator Deb Fisher, and then a representative from our Congressman Ashford. And we talked about four important issues, legislative issues for the blind that we're working on. I had the opportunity to attend the state staff meeting. That was a real good experience to meet some of the staff in some of the outlying offices. And we had the American Council of the Blind had their state convention in April, and I am now the ACB and the state president, so thank you.
This is Mike Hansen again. I guess I was being nudged that to say that I was also attended the, got the opportunity to participate in the Blind Licensee, the Nebraska Business Enterprise Program's Blind Licensee meeting here earlier in late winter time, so. There you go, Robert.
Two legs. Okay, some of the things, you know, that I participated in between last meeting and this. So, yeah, the retreat was great. It's really super necessary for, you know, this organization, this board to be a cohesive, you know, group. And so to get our new guys acquainted just kind of with the things about being a commissioner, we had a retreat. That was really super great. We have some changes in the job description. We discovered some of those and worked those out as a group, so it was great for me to talk about those. So it's really good. So then, yeah, so that Blind Licensees meeting, I was there, was in Omaha, so that's a group of people I really always have had an interest in the whole time I worked for the commission because I think business is pretty fascinating. So that was great. And then, as Mark there just talked about, there was recently there was the state convention here. It was in Omaha of the American Council of the Blind, so I attended that. It's, you know, I have a lot of friends there, and it was a great day. They had a really good program, so I really appreciated being there. Then, right here in this hotel earlier, was that in April? Yeah, April, yeah. It seemed like a long time ago, but it was just really less than a month. So we were right here in this hotel, and they had a state staff meeting, another great one. So again, Ms. Pearl, you really put on a good show. Education and entertaining, and so it's I don't think too many people nod off during those meetings. Anyway, so that was really good. Then I'm also, Chad will talk more about this, but I'm also a part, and it's really great to see Gwen here, the Friends of the Commission. I'm the president of it, so we recently had a meeting, so I'll let Chad talk about that, and then Gwen, maybe during public comment period, she can say whatever she'd like to say too. So that, I guess, winds up what I've done. So that's, it's always important to us to keep, you know, being engaged in commission affairs. So here you go, Chad.
All righty.
Becky.
We had the commissioner's retreat, and like Mike said, I think we need to rename that. To me, a retreat is, you know, kicking back with your legs up, having a good time, and it wasn't that. We did some work and got, and it truly helped me get a grasp of my job as a commissioner, and so I think for going forward, it is it a necessity for any new commissioners that come on the board. I definitely recommend keep that going. And as Robert said, I'm also a member of the Friends of the Commission, and we just recently had announced our new grant winner, and we are giving $1,000 to the NFB Bell program. And that stands for Blind Enrichment.
Braille, right? Braille enrichment, yeah.
Yeah, Braille enrichment literacy. So I can't remember the rest.
Letters
and learning. Yeah. That. Yeah. But the one email though, it does say the blind education something something on it. So that's what I was going off of. But anyways, and then on top of that now, I haven't been a member of that very long, I guess, last summer, so we've had three or four meetings since I became a member of that. But we also kind of decided to maybe redefine our mission statement of who we are and what we stand for. And then I know we've been working on, Robert's been working on the website and getting more of a organized organization, I guess you could say. So at that, I'll pass the mic. You want me to shut it off?
I'll put it here. Yeah, just shut it off.
All the way down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And we may not need it every time, but I'll try to pay attention to how loud folks are.
Gwen, you had your hand up earlier. Were you just having problems hearing?
Me?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Okay. No problem.
I was itching.
Okay, I thought we were
scratching an itch.
We were responding when Becky was talking to get her the mic so that you guys could hear better. We thought maybe that was what you're indicating. All right, we just want to make sure you could hear. That's all right.
We pay attention.
And do let us know if you aren't hearing and we aren't noticing.
Yep.
Please do let us know.
Yep. So my appreciation to the rest of the board for I know how active they are in this field in general outside of their responsibilities for the commission, and it just goes to show their commitment to the blind in Nebraska and the different aspects of promoting the education of blind students and independence of blind Nebraskans. So I appreciate all that they do. The next item on the agenda is the report from the executive director.
All right, thank you. Can you hear me okay? Maybe that's not good. I think the two microphones were too close to each other. All right. Well, it's been very busy, as usual. In the past quarter, I had the opportunity to attend the confirmation hearings for new commissioners, Mark Bolger and Chad Bell. So that was a good experience. Cooperated with the Nebraska State Auditor's Office. As Mike mentioned, they do a routine but comprehensive audit. They actually were in our offices, they being a team of three and sometimes four people from the State Auditor's Office, for 6 weeks. So they really go through a lot of materials during that time. And as Mike said, we just had the exit conference yesterday. We just received the actual report 2 days prior. So, it just concluded, and we're just thinking through the report and the results, and I'll be sharing that with the board, of course. It's in draft format now. There's the draft recommendations and conclusions, and then the agency has 10 calendar days to respond, so we'll be doing that very shortly here. Then the auditor comes up with their full and final report. So that's been a big focus. I also had the opportunity to attend and make a presentation at the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska annual state convention. And as always, that was a good opportunity. I've completed performance appraisals for the staff who report directly to me. That's Kathy, Carlos, Bob, and Bill. And then continued, our leadership team meets every week and talk about whatever issues. Of course, when things come up in between, we're working with each other all the time. But those regular meetings help us get at things that we haven't gotten to during the week. The state staff meeting has been mentioned a couple of times. It was really a good training opportunity. This time we had two full days and half a day, so had some really good training and discussion. The administrative team meets about every 4 to 6 weeks. The Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act, WIOA, core partners meetings continue. That's been very active and working on completing and submitting an update of the WIOA combined state plan. And just a couple of days ago received from Rehab Services Administration some changes that we need to make in the plan. They were pretty minor, so that's a good thing, and they did compliment us on the work done on that plan. So we'll be working on that in the next couple of days as well. I think we've got a deadline of that, about the same framework as the audit deadline. So we won't be able to take any days off after this meeting. We've got our hands full for sure. The request for proposals for the case management system process, as you know, was a lot of work was put into that over the past several months, and actually prior to the formal RFP process, we've been working on this for a couple of years. The bids were all opened April 21, and there were four bids and one letter, the letter saying they weren't interested of the bids. All of them were either disqualified by state purchasing or they were out of our budget range, and so therefore I rejected all the bids. So that was frustrating, really, to put all that work into it and not get some viable projects to explore. And so actually just yesterday, we met with the state purchasing, someone from the office of the, a couple people from OCIO, the chief information officer, state purchasing, and our staff to discuss what our next steps are. We're going to be exploring with at least one company whether there are things that how could we go about it differently. It sounds like state purchasing will be at least open to us doing this in a different way, so that we really do not believe that going through the RFP process again would result any different, anything new. So we're working on how we can do that differently. And again, we really do hope that we'll be able to develop and contract with a company to get a new case management system. We've been busy in Lincoln with the office projects. New windows were installed in all the offices in Lincoln. They look great. Carpet is installed in the hallways and some of the rooms. There's more carpeting to be done yet. Painting will be happening, other upgrades. Pardon me. We have two new offices on the third floor that will be for the new, for the transition person that we've already hired, and then we're in the process of hiring the business enterprise or a business manager too. That's in process right now, and so those two new offices will be on third floor with the rest of the administration. Kearney office is established, pardon me, in the new location. I think at the time I wrote this, there was still some minor work in process. That probably is all completed by now, I think. And we're planning an open house ribbon cutting this summer, possibly in August, but we don't have an exact date yet. We've had supervisors meetings in the past quarter, of course, and I'm still on the Mayor's Multicultural Advisory Council for Lincoln-Lancaster. That's good. Sometimes I learn about new resources that are available, or maybe not necessarily new, but new to me, that I can share with the staff. So that's a good time well spent. Continued to work a little bit on the trying to set up a file transfer system for commissioners with people from the OCIO. We kind of hit some more roadblocks with that again. We had a meeting with Mike and Wes, myself, and the OCIO staff, and sounded like maybe there were some opportunities, and then that kind of fell through as well. So, and then also mobile device management. OCIO is working on a system that will be statewide for all agencies. Our interest in getting involved with that was to hopefully, before it got too far along, to make sure they're really looking at accessibility aspects of mobile device management. Had a big meeting. It sounded like they're really further along than we had thought. So whether we'll, you know, make any real inroads there or not, I don't know, but at least we made that effort. Conference calls, there have been different things with, there's a new WinTech, Workforce Investment Technical Assistant and Training Team. And that's part of the Federal Rehab Services Administration or offshoots from RSA. We had a couple of conference calls about what they have to offer the states, us, in terms of technical assistance, and also how we're working on WIOA and transition and the pre-employment transition services. So no plans have been set yet for some training we might need, but at least we have a better idea of what's available. And then, of course, monthly National Council of State Agencies for the Blind Executive Committee meetings. And I went to the National Spring Conference of NCSAB in Maryland. And so that's the highlights of what I've been up to. In terms of services, I want to tell you about the jobs people have been employed in the past 3 months. A custodian with Lincoln Public Schools, a job as a wages counselor this summer. Two people got part-time jobs. We have a job class in Lincoln, and ironically, but nicely, a couple people had to drop out of the class because they got jobs. So that's a good thing. Some of the jobs, daycare provider, a vendor, and a receptionist. And then in the Omaha area, clients have gotten jobs as food prep, kitchen helper, stocker, merchandise sorter, and production worker. And then one person we worked with to maintain a job as a customer service representative. And then in the North Platte area, one person got a job as a hairdresser starting next month, and then another one will be doing an on-the-job training, teaching computer skills, and working with wages this summer. So we're always glad when people have success with getting jobs. Then in terms of the numbers, we're at the end or just past the end of the first two quarters of the federal fiscal year, started October 1, 2015. We've served 617 voc rehab clients in all statuses. Of the 378 that were available for action, that is, they had active plans, 26 people were closed achieving their employment goals, and 53 were closed without achieving that employment. Sometimes that means they moved or were transferred to another agency or something like that. Independent living, we worked with 450 clients, and of those, of the 382 active, 146 closed successful. Pardon me, 18 were closed without achieving their goals. In the center has been very busy. We've had one new client in the past. Now I'm just since February. Those other numbers were since October 1. So in the past quarter, one new client in the center, 5 new staff trainees. We had one person come, a client come for a 3-day stay, and one student and one staff trainee had a commencement meal. 2 students had their mini meals, and then we also provided training to 43 nursing students of Bryan Hospital training. We have just recently decided that the training for nursing students will need to be discontinued. At least for now, we've got a full center, pretty much full all the time with students and staff trainees, and with 43 nursing students, we ended up with the clients of the center not getting their classes they need every day. So Carol did just recently let the instructor of that curriculum know that they'll have to find another place for that
project. Anyway, lots of tours, lots of activities. By the way, the state auditors, at the beginning of their work with us, did take a tour of the center. I think that's always important for whether it's budget office or auditors or whatever, to really come through the center to get an idea of what we do really statewide. It's the seeing things in a nutshell of what we do statewide. So we're appreciative when they take the time to do that. Let's see. Center supervisor completed the National Rehab Leadership Institute training, or will, in June, and she's continues to be very active in communicating with the field and making sure that things are good in terms of communication, and the supervisors of the field are doing a good job with that, as well as are the staff in general. Yes, sir.
I was going to ask I was reading ahead here a little bit, and it says in here that Carol will complete the Leadership Lincoln Executive Series in June. Is that different? I was thinking that's different than the
program. It is different. I beg your pardon. You're right. Yes.
Okay.
That was another Leadership Lincoln Executive Series is another kind of training or...
I was going to actually ask you about that, because I'm familiar with the one that you had mentioned. I know several of our other individuals in the commission have gone through that program.
Yes.
At the national level. Can you describe what the Leadership Lincoln Executive Series is?
Sure. And so, sorry for that error.
That's all right.
It's really driven by it being Leadership Lincoln Executive Series, driven by Chamber of Commerce, the local business organizations like LIBA is a big one, Lincoln Independent Business Association, and some others who have this. It's training, but it's also, well, it's leadership development and connecting with businesses and businesses, networking with each other. But networking, I mean, it's not exactly just networking, but that's a big part of it, in being a leader in terms of business activities in the community.
Okay.
So, roughly, that's... okay, let's see. We have two new staff in the center. Matt Hackert is the new communications instructor. He's in training now. And Jeremy Ritchie is the new home management instructor. He's also still in training, but he started earlier than Matt. So, but they're both doing a great job in their training, and we're looking forward to having them in their positions. Let's see. Lincoln District, of course, is very active. All the offices, there's lots of work going on by everybody. I guess there were some shifting of positions when Shane Burrish was promoted to the transition specialist. That left an opening. For several months, we kept that vacant so we could kind of determine what would be the best way to manage the caseload. And so we're now hiring a new position for the voc rehab, for Shane's position. I'm sorry, this is a little disjointed. Let's see, how did that go? Larry Mackey was a VR counselor and went into Shane's position as an OC, orientation counselor. So then that left a voc rehab counselor position open. That's the one that we're just screening for now. And that position we've decided will be focused entirely or almost entirely on transition. In fact, their hours will be different. I think it's 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. so that they can spend time with students and families after school and in the evenings. And then we also have in the center, the Cindy Zimmer has become the, let's see what we call her, sorry, the client services counselor. So she's helping people mainly that are in the center that have multiple needs, which many of the people we serve do have multiple disabilities, as well as other barriers to employment or even to training. And so she's helping to get people situated, dealing with the various needs that are happening. The bell has rung. I always think I'll have more time than there is. But I think I've hit the highlights as far as center and field go. Certainly not everything. It'll all be in the report. That'll be part of the minutes. There's quite a large section as well on transition and on technology. So I've talked a little bit about both of those, but I would encourage everybody to read those parts of this report. But I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
I do have a couple.
Okay.
The first one was regarding the hiring of, not specifically Matt Hackert, but that position at the center. I know that we had I know that in there that we did hire somebody else for that position that in the end it didn't work out and
right.
And they left. But and so we did go through the process twice, but I know that we, as I recall, we actually not only did that little the person that had filled the position for a short time, not only did that lengthen the process getting Matt there, but as I recall that we had a tough time finding candidates to apply, and I was just wondering if there was if there had been a review at all as far as maybe how we're advertising for these positions to trying to find people who would be interested in that type of a position. How we might improve our hunt for good candidates in the future.
Well, I can't say there was a formal review, but we definitely had lots of discussion about how best, and we spread the word by way of many networks with consumers. I can tell you that position, communications, computer technology, is a really tough one across the country. In Hawaii, was it last August that I went? Yeah, August of 2015. They had been trying to hire for their communications person even then, and it had been empty for a while, and I spoke with the director in April at NCSAB. They still don't have, they actually had somebody, and it didn't work, and so they're back to square one as well. So it's really tough to find the right person. But yeah, I mean, if anybody has ideas.
Do you think it's tough just because of the technology area and there's other jobs with technology that are
maybe a higher paid type
of stuff. Sure, I'm sure that's true. Also, ability to know technology, that's one thing. To know access technology, that's the next tier of the issues. And then be able to teach it,
yeah, right.
That's a whole other thing. So it's a challenge.
Okay. You mentioned it, but I know it's mentioned in other parts of this of your report that you weren't able to get to. It looks like there several of the staff, even in different districts, are pursuing training with the Easter Seals.
Yes.
And I was curious what that entailed. What are the? Because
yes.
Here it says we are starting Easter Seals benefit training this month.
Right.
And what is that?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that. Easter Seals is they're the designated entity in Nebraska to provide training on Social Security disability benefits. Okay. So counseling regarding what work incentives there are, how to not risk losing your benefits, especially medical, if you go to work, what to look at in terms of the decision of working versus not working, and all that sort of thing.
Okay. And I know the answer to this one, but during the audit process, there was I think that there was one question that the auditors came up with, or that the auditors made, one comment that the auditors made, that they were asking the board to be more involved with review.
Yes.
of the financial process. Do you have, could you explain that to the board a little bit more?
I would be glad to.
Thank you.
pardon me. I'll just read from their summary of comments on that particular item.
Okay.
And then I'll comment on it as well.
Okay.
Board review of transactions. There was an overall lack of monitoring of the accounting activities of the commission by the board. They really would like to, the auditor's office, would like to see much more involvement on part of the board in reading the various reports from the business office, knowing more about the details of what the agency is doing, what we're spending money on, just much more a closer oversight of the fiscal operations.
Okay.
And so it's something that, we had already started by sending the general ledger to the board members in the past month or so, with the idea that then the board needs to help Bill and I figure out how can we best provide you information.
Right.
What more detail do we need, and so on. So, transparency is one thing, but if all you do is send reports that nobody can make sense of, then it's not really transparency. We're going to be working on how best to share that information in a way that means something. And So that's kind of the, oh, maybe Mike, since you were at the audit exit, is there anything else you would add about that?
Oh, just, I think, you know, the thought that I had is that we need to, like you were saying, that we as the board need to help you, you and Bill, to come up with what we need to be able to do that. You know, what is going to be useful for us to be able to help monitor those things more closely, help, you know, help figure out, is there some questions that we've done it quite, you know, every few years we'll do, we've done a kind of a financial overview of how the finances of the commission works, but you know, do we need to go in a little more depth? Is it like talk about the different type of coding that's done, the different, the way that the finances are organized, different types of accounts and so on. I think that something that I would like to do to help with that is ask for some volunteers here from the board to form a committee that would start to look at what we can do or what we would like to see to help meet this concern from the auditors, whether that be the types of information that we might ask yourself and Bill to provide to us on a regular basis. How frequently do we want to see that? If there's any other checks that need to be there, if there's any training that might need to be done. I think I'd also like this committee to look at what some of the other commission boards are doing. For instance, possibly reach out to the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing and see what their board is doing in this area to get some ideas of where we could start, a starting point for us. So I guess at this time I'd like to ask the board if there some volunteers who would like to help spearhead this.
Yeah, I guess I'm a numbers kind of guy. What I'm looking for is, and I appreciate the information we got, the general ledger, what I'd like to see is kind of what I would say, call it an executive summary with the key indicators that we need to be aware of as commissioners, where we're at financially. And we I don't know how, I haven't thought about the what kind of detail, but there needs to be probably no more than 6 or 7 key indicators that says, you know, the money's coming in, it's going out, we're on budget, you know, and just things that is, we can have our thumb on the pulse of the financials without having to know that Sally, you know, spent $12 on postage, you know, for, so, and I'd be glad to help on that. Maybe it might be a discussion with Bill, and maybe, like you say, see what the other commissioners or boards are doing.
Yeah, I think that also maybe talking to the state the Administrative Services Department of State Accounting might give us some ideas as well as ways to address this concern from the auditors. So there's several resources in state government today that we could reach out to help take care of this concern. I'll note that this is the first audit that has occurred since I've been on the board. The last one was actually finalized just months before my term started. And this was a concern that was brought up then and really was not addressed at that time. And I think it has come up in previous ones as well. So I'd like to get this taken care of so that it's not a reoccurring issue every single time that the auditors come in.
I'd like to be involved.
Okay, good, Chad. Okay,
great. And I would participate as well. So thank you, Mark and Chad, for volunteering. We'd like to see a report back to the board as a whole not necessarily a final report, but a status update report when we meet again at our next board meeting.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be really good because I probably would be one of the more denser people in terms of when it comes to the figures, but I think I was just processing in my head just kind of what kind of guideline would I want to see of the things that an auditor would want to look at for balance and for... anyway, so I'd be happy to see what you guys come up with and, okay. and then see if you can make it make sense to me.
Okay. All right.
Well, and I think for the board's sake, ultimately, we have some accountability on how money's spent, and at least we need to understand it and so that we can provide comfort to the the public that we are doing our duties.
So. And I guess just that being said, and to finish the topic up, but the it's not to discount the good work that, mm-hmm. that you and Bill do already, so we appreciate everything
absolutely.
You guys are doing.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's a lot of detail on that general ledger.
All right. That was actually the last of the questions that I had.
I have two.
Okay.
Okay. First one is first of all, I appreciate the report, the length and depth of it, and having it well before the meeting, so I did get a chance to look at it. The two questions I have, first one has to do with the center, and I know on the last quarterly report we had one visitor to the Senate. And or Senate. I'm sorry, Senator. And anyway, thank you. As I see the center, that's kind of our flagship of our operation, and that's where we have the greatest success at full outcomes. And I'd like to see more numbers, and I don't think that we can just say that we can point in one area, but somehow collectively as a state agency, we've got to get as many people through that center as possible. And how do we get people there? How do the referrals work, and how can we make that?
Okay. Well, it's throughout the work in the field when the staff, the orientation counselors, and the VR counselors work with clients in the field. As they explore what the person's goals are in terms of employment, what training that they need to accomplish those goals, both vocationally but also in terms of blindness skills and confidence and belief in themselves and their ability to really strive for a significant employment goal. And what can they achieve? That's all very linked to what the Senate offers.
Sorry.
And so, really, throughout the work that our staff do with clients, the option of the center is very much part of the conversation. To say that there was one visitor, that's the 1 3-day stay.
Right.
Is not probably representative of, and I notice I didn't tell you how many people are at the center currently, but before a three-day stay is the step before you really start center training.
Oh, okay, so there's a commitment there.
There can be tours that happen
right,
before.
Prior to okay. that, like John Schmidt might take a client to Lincoln to tour the center just for a one-day visit, to get a feel for it. 3-day stay, you actually go there mm-hmm. for 3 days, you stay in an apartment, you use the sleep shades and have classes, so mm-hmm. it's much more intense. And so staff bring clients in, or clients can come and learn about it. Sometimes family members will come and tour mm-hmm. the center. Actually, the tours, I didn't read this, but I mentioned that the auditors had toured, but also 6 commission clients did come for tours during
okay,
that
good.
Time.
Can we track how many people take tours? Because
yes.
to me, that's an indicator,
yes.
you know, what,
yes.
what should be...
We do.
Okay, good.
I guess I didn't put it in this, or I didn't read everything, of course, but I see now that she... gave me the list of six people that are clients came for tours, and then of those, one person did the three-day stay. I know that the center is nearly full. I don't know the exact number. John, do you know offhand how many people are there right now? Okay.
I was thinking,
right.
It's looks it like is. A good crowd there. I mean, it's fuller than it's historically it's been the last couple of years.
Correct.
So, which is good.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, I guess what I'm thinking is we have so many indicators of what we've done, but to me, where we're going to be in the future would be based on those tours and business, and that's where we have to be kind of also looking ahead, and that's certainly an indicator. And you know, I'm going to try to do my part in my consumer group affiliations to encourage people to come and check it out. And
absolutely.
And I hope others will do that too, because we know that there's good success when they go through the center. So,
can I add to that a little bit? You know, with Shane going into the schools and getting our name out there, I think that that is also a good opportunity for families and students to know what's offered, and that will in turn bring more clients, I believe. I think that if we would have known a long time ago, you know, when our daughter was growing up, that we would have jumped on the bandwagon a lot earlier. Mm-hmm. So I think that is an option too, that's we're stepping forward and looking into the future, because our children are obviously the future.
Sure,
so.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Then the second question has just to do with independent living in Wiola. Are we going to see a shift in our caseloads and as we shift away from independent living support? Is that a fair statement?
Yes, in a couple of different ways. The independent living grant is Part B of the Rehab Act. With WIOA, Part B goes away. That'll be effective in 2017, I think October 1 of 2017, because it's related to the statewide plan for independent living, which we already have the commitment that we are part of that state plan for independent living. But at whatever point it is, then the Commission for the Blind will no longer have any Part B grant. Mostly Part B covers currently the programs for children and the some clients of the middle age from like 25 through 55. That for some reason don't have an employment goal. Sometimes it's most often I would say it's because of multiple disabilities. And so we have a few clients in that age group that are served by independent living. We've already, and we will not be able to provide an IL service to them. We've already started a process of identifying actual people that we're currently serving that don't fall in the youth. I'll talk about that in a minute. But to then take a look at those exact people, our numbers are small enough, we can do that and say, okay, let's really revisit this, we being the counselor, the client, the agency. Is there a way we could work for an employment goal, maybe support an employment? And so that we would really evaluate. If really employment is not in their wheelhouse, then we would need to identify other resources. The independent living centers are a resource.
Mm-hmm.
Part B won't go away. It'll be really managed by, or the funds will go through the Monroe Meyer Institute in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly how they'll filter out to the state, I don't really know yet. But We want to make sure our staff are working with the independent living centers, which they're not everywhere, but they are, you know, in some places mm-hmm. in the state. Maybe we can provide in services about blindness or whatever we can do to help build the capacity of those IL centers. So that's one part of it. Mm-hmm. And then for the younger age group, the transition and pre-employment transition services, really in the Rehab Act, there's no youngest age for having an employment goal. You know, we can talk to kids about what do you want to be when you grow up, mm-hmm. career exploration, just seeing what even people do as adults. And so we intend to provide services through the Voc Rehab grant to children and youth. And of course, exactly to what extent we'll be able to do that, we'll have a better idea when the regs come out.
Yeah. You know, of course, my concern is as blind people, we know that with specialized training and support, unique from the other VR or the rest of the VR, that we have more success. And even independent living, there are measures of success.
Yeah.
And somehow we gotta make sure that their needs are met,
absolutely.
Even though that they're not going to be going through the
right.
commission. And,
right.
you know, and I don't know if you know this, but I now sit on the Nebraska Statewide Independent Living
yes.
Council. And I heard some good discussions yesterday. So,
good.
But it is a concern of mine.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just have one little small thing, Harvey. Maybe I think you're kind of wound down on that.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think of it, if I was a VR counselor again. And I'm thinking that this is how it used to be when I was there. I'm not sure if it's changed in terms of trying to get people in the center. You know, it's that human that where there's a will, there's a way. You know, when I used to pitch it, I think I told the importance of it, and if they are interested in taking a look, I'd take them, or if they were just halfway interested, I would take them for a tour. But I think if I were to do it today, my expectation probably would be that there's almost no option that you're not going to go for a tour, because to know if this is going to be because I know it's the best way to do the adjustment part. So I would probably take everybody, and it would have to be a super exception, like they just can't leave the house or something because of a infectious disease or something, that we would not go. And I would take a family person, because they really can't process, they really can't know unless they go and see it in action. So I would probably just approach it different. I would be almost like it's an automatic, you will go, everybody will go for a tour. There has to be an absolute, just a unique exception why you don't think someone is a tour. I don't know if it's being approached that way now, but I know I didn't quite approach that. I pitched it, I gave it an option, I would stress it, but I wouldn't make it like this is what will happen. There's only exception if it won't happen, the tour. So I'm just thinking that expectation of the staff to get that. Not really.
And it's probably happened before that somebody just goes for a tour and they say, yeah, this is where I need to be, and they go from the tour basically skip the 3-day stay. That's probably happened a time or two.
It has happened. That's not always the best. Because sometimes you end up with people that get there and then after a couple of weeks they decide it really is not for them. So a lot of energy went into setting it up. I would like to ask John Schmidt to comment if that's acceptable, Mike.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Okay.
But we need, after John,
quickly.
I think we need to try to wrap
okay.
this up.
Yeah. I just wanted to add regarding my perspective on people coming for tours. I oftentimes have clients come to tours that aren't even necessarily interested in coming to the tour, because I think it's a really good opportunity for them to see what's capable, what blind individuals are capable of, what the training is that's available to them. And so until they get to the center and they see all the things that are available to them, they really don't have any idea. So even if it's somebody that doesn't want to come to the, and a lot of times they don't have any, desire to go to the center until they see it, and then that opens it up. But it's a good opportunity for them to see what's available. So
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. And some more public are coming in the door, I believe.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
Unless, does the... Unless there's no other comments from the board, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next topic. Real quick, before we do, I'd like to get, just for the purpose of the minutes, we have two new members of the public come in to join us, and ask your name so we can get you down on the attendance.
My name is Kathy Lanier. I'm from here from Norfolk. What else?
That's it. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Welcome.
Okay,
thank you.
Glad you're here.
Valerie Bell from Alliance. Thank you.
Welcome, Valerie. All right. The next item on the agenda was an update on the budget and the biennium update, so.
Okay. The main thing is that we're, I guess there's several main things. The biennium budget process starts, the proposal is always submitted in odd number, or even number of years, and then voted on by the unicameral and decided on by the governor in the odd numbered years. So budget instructions are issued in May or June. We haven't seen them yet. This is for the state budget request, okay? The fiscal year, of course, begins July 1. September 15th of 2016 is when our biennial budget request is due. So during the next, in particular July and August, we'll be working intensely on the next budget request, and possibly with the new work that the board will be doing and being more involved with our fiscal operations, maybe we'll find a way to have you more involved in that process too. And so September 15th is when in October the requests are due, and then it goes through the process. And in the past, August 1 is when the narrative for the budget was due, and we haven't seen the instructions yet, so I don't know if that's going to continue or not. But anyway, it's coming right up. We'll be working on the budget request. With the overall budget, the big emphasis has to do with the pre-ets, the 15% of the VOGREF grant has to be spent on pre-employment transition. Everybody in the agency is working very hard to make sure we're providing good services to youth pre-employment transition, and how we can best do that. And so a lot of effort is being put in that area. A little challenge is that when you have program income, which I think last time I reported we had a significant about 400 some thousand of Social Security reimbursement this past week or two, we got information that we are receiving another 70,000. So the rules require that program income has to be spent before you can use your grant. And so, but you also may have to make sure, like this summer is when we have a lot of youth programs. And so the timing of the spending will be a lot of youth transition spending right now over the next couple of months. but it'll be program income. So we've been corresponding with the federal fiscal people to find out how we can make sure that we don't jeopardize the grant by spending all the program income on transition. And we've had some exchanges about how that's supposed to work. It's a little confusing, and so we've gone back and forth a couple times to make sure we're understanding. And we're not the only agency that's dealing with this issue. But that's really probably the biggest thing that we're working on now to try to make sense of, so that we make sure we do it right. So that's, but basically budget's good, we've got the program income, we're doing our best to do what we need to do.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. The next item on the agenda then was an update on Newsline. The commission board received a report from the state Newsline coordinator. It's going to be included in the minutes that will be published. The highlights are that in this last quarter there were no new publications added to Newsline. They had some increase in membership. She of course gives some information about the number of members or the number of subscribers, the total number of read minutes over the last quarter. Let's see here, it was 16,003 minutes that people were listening to publications on Newsline over the last quarter. She mentions in here that most often people are reading local Nebraska newspapers, closely followed by some of the national papers, and then TV listings are another big item that people are accessing through Newsline. And the full report will be included in the minutes that will be published later. The next item on the agenda was any issues through the client assistance program.
There have not been any complaints or issues. I will report that the director of CAP has taken another position. She'll be basically deputy director at the Voc Rehab General Agency.
Okay.
So we'll have someone new to be working with.
Okay. Well, best of luck to her. I know that she's been very involved in our organization, more than just serving as the director of the client assistance program. She was very involved in state staff and other committees within our organization. So,
desk cleaner. What was that desk cleaning? Funny comment. That was cute.
Yes, Kathy Stevens and Vicki Rasmussen actually helped Bill Brown to sort through all of the stacks of paper on his desk and did an excellent
good job.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck to her, and great to hear who comes in her place, and hopefully we'll be able to build the same type of relationship with them as we had with Vicki.
Yes.
The next item on the agenda was the Nebraska Business Enterprise update.
Glad to give that. Lots going on there as well with Department of Roads, the accessibility, the ADA rest area project. Machines are in. The Department of Roads is working on renovations, I guess, sewer work and such to the different rest areas, so that has caused some closing of areas, which means less money for the vendors out there, licensees. Carlos, Commissioner Hansen, and I have had some ongoing discussions with administrative services to talk about the Randolph Shepherd program, how we can improve laws here in Nebraska, to develop better priority in state government. And so that is being discussed. We did just recently, while I was in Maryland for the NCSAB meeting, got amendment to our contract of the lower level cafeteria at the state office building in Lincoln, and as of now, that licensee will no longer be paying rent on the facility, which is as it should be. So that's very good news. We have a new licensee in Sydney. He's the newest vendor, and I think that's going pretty well. And also a new person in Norfolk that is right about now. I'm not sure if that's occurred yet, that they're in that post. Do you know, John?
Next week.
All right.
Wonderful.
We have that lady. Is that the lady that's here with us today?
A week from, 17th, right?
Yes. Great. Right. So congratulations on that. And then Don and Todd have had ongoing meetings with National Guard to renew the contract of the dining hall at Camp Ashland for another year, and working on how we can make sure things are in really good service to the military folks there. And then we did just complete a new RFP for Department of Roads. They have three big buildings in Lincoln. It's kind of a campus for their department. And they have a cafeteria and vending. We've completed the proposal for the cafeteria, which we would operate as the way the one in state office building is, where we cater with, or we bring in local restaurants to cater lunches. And so that proposal was submitted April 28th, and we'll find out in July, I believe, if we'll be offered that opportunity. And then a little bit later, May 25th is when the vending, or the proposal for the vending operations there is due. So we're working on that. Also, just in the last couple of days, we learned about and then met yesterday with an accountant from Department of Corrections. Mm-hmm. And in their recent audit, they were told that, your vending machines really need to be operated by Commission for the Blind. So we were very pleased to have that opportunity. Carlos and I met with the lady from Corrections yesterday, and there are a number of places, not for operating the cafeterias, but for the vending, for sure. And so she's going to be getting more details, talking with her managers, and of course Corrections is statewide, quite a few places, and might be some really great opportunities.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's the report.
Okay. Thank you. I guess the Department of Corrections, so this would be for all their facilities statewide.
Yes,
possibly. Great.
State Penitentiary in Lincoln.
Right.
Major corrections in Omaha, mm-hmm. York, Tecumseh.
Wow. That'd be awesome.
So, yeah.
You don't have to be a prisoner to get those jobs, right?
Correct.
And you're vending for the staff, right?
It would just be vending for the employees, yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
So what about this group of machines that we're having a problem with, that licensees are complaining about?
Right. As I was reading this, it occurred to me that I didn't have any specifics in here, but I'm pretty sure that that has all been worked out successfully. I'll have to double check.
Yeah, that's been good. That's been a headache.
Yeah, it really has. But I know that that progress was made. I'm sorry to say there's been so much else, mm-hmm. big stuff going on right now. I can't remember exactly.
Sure.
But I think that the machines that we've got, the parts that were needed, and I do know that Don and whoever it is from the parts company were going to some of those rest areas and getting the equipment fixed.
Okay, great. The last I had heard about it was that, Don was working with the provider of the provider of the machines, and they were pulling in somebody from one of their suppliers, and there was some efforts to try to figure out what was wrong.
Right.
But I wasn't aware that a resolution had been found yet. So that's great.
And if I'm wrong, I'll definitely give you an update. But I think that it's that it did get resolved.
And also, I think I saw an announcement where you're reshuffling or reassigning some duties where there'll be more designated resources for the MBE.
Yes, we're in process of hiring a new, we're calling the person a business manager too. It's going to partly work to support the business office, Bill Brown, and of course everybody else in the business office, and partly to work more closely with the business enterprise.
Yeah, a motion to
position. The position will be supervised by Carlos Urban,
okay.
MBE director and head of the MBE.
Where will they be located out there?
In Lincoln.
Lincoln? Okay.
Yeah.
It's just camp language that we use every year.
Yeah. All right. If there's no other questions, thank you very much for that, Dr. Van Zandt, and for all your other updates. The next item on the agenda here, and we're trying to catch up here a little bit and get to our first public comment and a break. But the next item on the agenda was to discuss and act on the approval of the executive director's time certification. So the commission. All employees of the commission have to turn in a timesheet to their supervisor for approval. Dr. Van Zandt has to do the same thing, and we have a process that we use for that, and we have to renew that process every year. Becky, if you're comfortable okay. with that, if you could make the motion.
Okay. I'd like to make the motion that the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners approves the... We'll try it again.
You can do it.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to make the motion that the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners approves the continued use of the current method being used for the approval of the executive director personal activity report. The director will submit her personal activity report via email to the entire board for their review. The report is automatically approved unless a question or concern is raised by a commissioner board member.
Did I hear a second?
I seconded.
Chad seconded the motion? Okay. If we'll do a quick roll call vote. Becky?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Chad?
Yes.
And I say yes. We are going to adjust the schedule just a little bit, and we're going to go ahead and take our 15-minute break now. So please try to be back by 10:55. Dan? You recording, Dan?
Yep.
All right. All right, so jumping back in here, the next item on the agenda was to discuss and act on the approval of the employee in-state and out-state travel. basically, there every year we make a motion to automatically approve our staff to travel outstate for certain types of activities. And it really boils down to that some of our clients live right near the border of the state, and so they may need to travel a few miles on outside of the borders of Nebraska to go to a job interview or to a medical appointment or something like that. So we have to approve that travel each year. Becky, if you are comfortable with it, making a motion.
Okay. I motion that the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners approves an employee in-state travel, business travel, and or out-of-state business travel within 60 miles of the border of Nebraska in any adjoining state, which relates directly to the provision of services to a client, employer visit, medical appointment, service referral, employment interview, etc. All other out-of-state business travel is approved if granted approval by the executive director of the agency. This motion is in effect until the next meeting of the Board of Commissioners after April 1st, 2017.
Okay. Second. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote then. Becky?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Chad?
Yes.
And I say yes, so that moves forward. Thank you very much. And that brings us to our first public comment period. We did have some new audience members come in after we did the initial announcements. The session is being recorded, so anything you guys say is being picked up, so just word of warning, caution, as you sit out there in the public and in the audience. If there's anybody who would like to seek the floor for during this public comment time, please state your name and I will take it down on a list and we'll have you come up one at a time.
I do mine.
Okay, Jim? Okay, anyone else?
Well, I'm just trying to decide if there's so much that you went over. I mean, I have something, but I don't really know if it's relevant.
That's fine.
It doesn't have to pertain.
It doesn't have to be about anything we were discussing. It could be about anything. So
your chance to be heard.
Just a comment.
and I can bring the microphone around.
Thank you.
Was there anybody else?
I have Jim and Gwen. Anyone else? Okay. Go ahead, Jim.
Quick question before I get to my comment and or my summary, if you will. It was suggested that Vicki is no longer the camp person. So the question I'm going to pose to someone is, if there is a camp complaint in the meantime, to whom does that get addressed?
Well, the exact date of her transfer, I don't recall, but I am quite sure that an interim director will be appointed. There would never be a lapse of time. So the CAP program, the phone number would still be the same, and so that's how that will work.
And then I wanted to give a little bit of history or a little bit of background on the auditor. You know, you said that the agency said that we had an audit here the last few weeks, whatever it was, and and Mike, you're right, a number of years ago there was an audit that was done, and the auditor had the same concern about board involvement over finances and the lack of involvement, if you will. And at the time, you're right, nothing was done with it. At the time, Julie and I talked about it as chair and vice chair, and she told me, she says, you know, she says, I have a major concern with that aspect of the report. She says, I don't want the board to be involved in approving purchasing staples, erasers, pencils, and that sort of thing. And I was relieved when Mark suggested the same thing. So we didn't do anything with it back then because, I don't know, I guess we didn't feel there was a need to, but I agree we probably need to be more cognizant of financial expenditures, obviously you don't want to micromanage who purchases what and get, you know, the board's blessing each time you got to go out and buy new, you know, toilet paper, if you will. But just being aware of the fact, I think, is and knowing how the finances are spent is the way to go. So I applaud the board for taking the steps and making that happen, at least at this point.
Just to comment on that, Jim, I don't think that the auditors are asking us to start approving expenditures, but they would like to see the level at which we are monitoring finances to not be at such a high level.
Right.
They want us to get down in the weeds a little bit further than what we are today, so that we can look at reports, see trends, see how money's being spent, and then be able to ask some questions of those expenditures if any come up that we're not sure what they are,
right.
or if we see something unusual in those reports that doesn't look like something we've seen in, you know, before, that our attention is brought to it sooner than later. Yeah.
My concern is micromanaging. Don't micromanage.
No.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
that's why we have hire a competent,
right.
Capable executive director,
right.
to handle the day-to-day business of the commission.
You bet. Mm-hmm. All right. That's all I have for now.
Which commission just got in trouble or is in trouble?
Tourism.
Yeah.
Tourism.
And one of the items was, so like a speaker of $44,000 for a speaker. Anyway, they really made some terrible comments about that's what happens when you have one of these commissions that's not being regulated or overseen. That's just, boy, they just made it sound like you're watch out for commissions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I just had a question. I went through the center about 7 years ago and had a very good experience, and I went because I am slowly losing vision, and that has happened more and more lately, and I don't know, does the commission kind of help you at all? How to, you know, I don't know if they get involved if you've lost a little more sight and you just, you know, can you turn to them or not? That was just kind of a question I had.
You want to take that one, Pearl?
Sure. I'd be glad to. A person... Let me come back up here a little ways.
So your case is closed now, correct?
Yeah,
it's closed.
Okay. Individuals are always eligible to apply for services. Whether or not a person is determined eligible for an active plan depends upon the individual, your vision, obviously, you've described, would be eligible, vocational goal, and so on. So the counselor that takes the referral basically would sit down with you, discuss what your situation is, what your goals are, and together you would determine if a plan for an individualized plan for employment would fit what you're looking at. John, do you want to add anything for how that works?
No. Well, I was just thinking the sleep sheet training at the center is hopefully designed so that when people lose more vision, you know, they're not going to have to be a revolving door and come back depending on how much their vision loss. So that the center, in hopefully the field training, is designed to help a person progress with alternatives, you know, use a non-visual technique. So if their vision does deteriorate further, they still have the skills. But if they feel that they've lost some ground with skills, like Pearl said, you're always you're always, you can always return to apply for services if you feel there is a need, depending on what your vocational goal is. And,
yeah. And then we would see where it takes us. And there's another hand up in the public has said, can I go to that, Mike?
Yes.
Okay. I should say to her.
Yes, my name is Kathy, and I was just curious about how far do your vision have to be gone before you could get, go to the centers in Lincoln? Because I was rejected for, I don't know why I was rejected, but I was seeking school, but I live so far away. You know, I live here in Norfolk, mm-hmm. and they was telling me that they had a school in Lincoln, but they said I wasn't able to go for some reason. Okay. I didn't understand it.
Not knowing the specifics of your case, might be able to answer that further if we have that information, but something we were discussing here just a little bit ago was CAP, the Client Assistance Program. And what that is if during your case, during your interactions with the Commission for the Blind, if you're ever don't understand why a decision's being made, generally it's going to be because of being declined for something. Maybe you're asking for some equipment to be purchased and for some reason it was determined that would not happen. Or like you're saying, you wanted to attend the training center in Lincoln and for some reason you were declined. If your counselor isn't able to explain that to you in a satisfactory manner, there's a client assistance program where you can call and they will help straighten that out, whether it be better describing to you the reason why you're declined, or if there was an error in the handling of your case, there'll be instigate a process of rectifying that so that the issue's taken care of properly.
Yes, thank you, Mike, for mentioning CAP. And I'd like to say, too, that certainly members of the public can bring any issue they would like to the meeting. We would take any things relevant to a specific case, an individual, after the public meeting to discuss with you further, or we can talk about resources and general things here in the public mm-hmm. meeting. But so if you have further specific questions, anyone in the public, to talk with us afterward, we'd be glad to pursue these conversations.
It would just be a matter of confidentiality
yes.
for you that right. we would not typically discuss that in a public meeting.
Okay, thank you. Got it?
Okay. I think that's
okay.
The last.
All right. So the next item on the agenda is to discuss and act on the approval of the executive director's participation on the National Blindness Professional Certification Board as part of the annual review process of the executive director. The commission board each year looks at the some of the major commitments of her time outside of her specific job duties here in Lincoln. In the state of Nebraska, and to see how those are going. Is it something that is productive for her? And it's a way of us just staying informed of the different activities that she's involved with, generally they're, you know, even though they might not be directly related to her specific job, it's all in, it's networking, it's all in our ballpark, though. It's helping to, guide the direction of vocational rehabilitation at a federal level, which, of course, benefits us here in Nebraska. Pearl, if you could, because I don't think we've talked about it for a while, could you describe your involvement with the National Blindness Professional Certification Board and what you've been doing with them over the last year?
Yes, I'll be glad to. The NBPCB is an entity that certifies orientation and mobility instructors, or certified, and then also certifies training centers for the blind that are a structured discovery approach, and also provides certification in Braille, the UEB new Braille system. They provide training and certification of people that utilize Braille and train Braille. So those are the three main areas. It really is just a matter of sometimes not even quarterly, but sometimes quarterly meetings. Often they're a conference call, or if it is at a location that I'm not at, I attend by conference call. This past year, I was involved as the representative of the board to go to the Training Center for the Blind in Hawaii, and they have a very specific assessment tool that I use to determine if that center should continue to be certified. So it doesn't really, except when I do those individual visits, which are fairly rare, it does not take very much time.
When you have to do, when you're asked to do the certification visits like you did in Hawaii, the travel and lodging and all those types of expenses are covered by the National Blindness Professional Certification Board and not something that we're responsible for as an agency?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Does the board have any other questions?
I guess you're not compensated in any way to...
Correct. I am
okay.
Not compensated.
Okay.
For the meetings or those assessment visits. Thank you for passing that.
Then, I guess, just so for the record, then we do, because we are National Blindness Professional Certification Board, we do pay a fee every, 2 years or 4 years?
Oh, the center certification... I want to say it's 4 years. It's not two.
Okay.
It could be three or four for that assessment and that certification.
And
yes.
You in no way benefit anyway from...
Oh, no, absolutely
okay.
Not. And also, I am not involved with the assessment of our center.
Sure.
When it's the term comes up for our center to be reassessed, a different board member is appointed.
Okay. And then is Jeff Altman still on that board, too?
He is also on that board as well.
Okay.
Right.
I guess the non-monetary compensation that we all get because of your involvement is the networking and the knowledge and that you get.
Mm-hmm.
So and I guess awareness, you know, that we have folks here that are of that caliber, that, you know, they are on those boards. That's great.
Thank you.
All right. So do I hear a motion to support Dr. Van Zandt's continued participation in the National Blindness Professional Certification Board?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Do a roll call vote then real quick. Becky?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Chad?
Yes.
And I say yes. So thank you very much for doing that. I know you've served on some other boards nationally. It actually surprised me when we started doing this, the number of boards that you have served on in the past was very impressive, and it says a lot about you, but also it's getting the name of our organization out there more, and what we do here in the state of Nebraska. So I appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you.
Okay, the next thing on the agenda was is to discuss some possible changes to the commission board's job description. And where this came from is when we had our commission board retreat, which is a better title for that would probably be new commissioner orientation. Of course, we went over the job description, and there were some comments made that we notated, and we've written some possible changes to those, and we want to bring them forward today and talk about them, and then we will let that set until our next board meeting, and which we'll vote on the changes being approved or not. So if I can find what I did with those, I will read them. Here we go.
And just a side comment to that, too. We found that there was some redundancy in some of the things. So that's.
I actually have the comments right here. Okay. So we'll actually go through them one by one. So comment number one, suggested that we, read these in a second, delete the irrelevant duty of number five, as it is similar to number four. It is confusing as there is no listing of the formal responsibilities, and job number four takes care of it. So number five, the one that they're at, that we were suggesting being deleted, was to perform related duties formally assigned to the State Rehabilitation Council. And so we're saying that there's nothing here stating what the State Rehabilitation Council did. Number four, which is saying that it's being covered really, is seek input from both consumers and staff through public meetings, correspondence, and surveys, etc. So continually being accessible to both the public of Nebraska that we're serving and the staff that works for the commission, to allow them to bring forth ideas, concerns, and comments. Which was our understanding of what the State Rehab Council was for. So that was the first comment was to, or the first suggestion was to get rid of number five. And the board, if you guys have any questions about these or comments as we go through these, let me know. Let's see here. Comment number two. We need to include some examples on number six. So number six, let me read what that is. Number six is approve rules, regulations, and policies adopted and promulgated by NCBVI. And the proposed rewritten version, correction, let's see here. Correction made after. The comment that I have written down here was that there actually was not a correction made to this one. After some more thought, we did not make a change to number six. If we provided examples, we could be unintentionally be setting limits on ourselves that we may not later, or that we may later regret. So we did not actually make any changes to number six. But that was one of the discussion, or that was one of the comments that had been made early on. Comment number three was reword or put in parentheses WIOA in number 7. And the correction is I added that. So number 7 is have a working knowledge of the Rehabilitation Act rules and regulations and other material necessary for the operation of NCBVI. So we're just going to include WIOA after the Rehabilitation Act. Comment number 4 was delete number 8 because it's covered by number 4. So the comment I have here was correction made. Let's see here. We left these two alone. After further thought, the differences between actively seeking input from stakeholders at all levels, number 4, and being a representative reporting on the operations of the agency, that there's a difference between those as we thought about it more. So
Michael, I'm not sure if there's anyone in here that wasn't around when we were discussing what that acronym stands for.
The acronym.
WIOA.
Okay. You want to explain that?
Well, it's just kind of like the new version of the Rehabilitation Act. And what's that stand for? Yeah, like
Workforce
Innovation
Initiative and Opportunities Act.
Innovation.
Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act.
Okay.
See?
There you go.
Just want to make sure, because sometimes we throw around some of these
acronyms. Terms. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And so that's a topic that has come up over the last year and will continue to come up because WIOA, which has made some significant when that was passed over 18 months ago now. It has created some significant changes in the way that we will operate as an agency from the federal level, and we are trying to act in the best, in the spirit of those changes at this point while we wait for the federal guidelines that actually tell us how we're supposed to act. So the law's gone into effect, but yet they have not told us how to implement it. So we're doing the best we can at this point until they come up with those new guidelines. After further thought, there was no changes made to that one. Comment number 5 was to take out the word session in number 9. So let me read you what that was. Yep. So number 9. And we'll include I'll give these documents to Kathy to include in the minutes after this meeting so that you'll have the full list of the current job description and what the revised one would look like. So number 9 was annually elect a chairperson, a vice chairperson, and an executive session secretary. And we have an executive secretary. But and we occasionally enter into executive session, but there is not an executive session secretary. And so that word just needed to come out. I apologize because some of the stuff seems pretty... we just have to cover it in public meetings. So. The comment number 6 in there was 9 of these that we're going to go through, by the way. So we're getting close, was reword number 12 to alleviate confusion of the word focus. I have down here that we changed the word focus to agency. So number 12 was receive both written and in-person focus reports from the NCBVI staff asking for follow-up materials and other clarifications as needed. And I think we thought that the word focus was confusing because very frequently at our commission board meetings, we have focus topics. And so we changed that word to agency. So it will now read, receive both written and in-person agency reports from NCBVI staff asking for follow-up materials and other clarifications as needed. Number seven was to combine 17 and 18. The correction made, instead of combining 17 and 18, we reworded 18. So what these two are, and I'll read the reworded one here in a second. So currently 17 reads, communicate as a body only after reaching a consensus and only over the signature of the chairperson. So what that's referring to is that the power of the commission board is as a group, not as an individual. And so as we make statements or recommendations or directives to the agency, that it needs to be done as a whole body and not as an individual. 18, as it currently is written, is to communicate as individual board members using good judgment as and discretion and with a clear indication of a member's speaking for him or herself rather than as a spokesman for the board. And 18, which is what we said, we reworded it. Let me see here a second. Ah, okay. The way it's reworded is, when communicating as an individual board member, a board member should use good judgment and discretion and with a clear indication that they are speaking for him or herself and rather than as a spokesman for the board. And basically there's just a few words up front that were changed to make it more clear what we were describing, the situation we're describing. Let's see here, that was 17, 18. So comment number 8, reword number 19 by taking out the word new. Correction made, remove the word new, and changed commission kit to commissioner information packet. So number 19, the way it's currently written, is develop and update a new commissioner kit that will facilitate training of newcomers to the board. And the way that is reworded now is develop and maintain a commissioner information packet that will facilitate training of new board members. So basically it's just changing the document that we have. We've done this, and so we don't need to create one. We just need to maintain it now. We don't have to develop it. We're not starting from scratch. And the name of that didn't jive with what was written in here, so we just changed it so that the names matched up with how it's referred to. And then number 9, the last one, was reword number 20. So the correction made was, we reworded this duty, but am not yet completely satisfied. It is difficult not knowing all the thoughts that went into this originally. The current number 20 currently reads, see that new commissioners become familiar with materials on the NCBVI website, tour the Nebraska Center for the Blind, read the starter kit, and review focus reports and board motions involving NCBVI operations. The proposed revision of that one at this point reads, see that new commissioners become familiar with the materials in the commissioner information packet, that they become familiar with the facilities of the commission, and review commission reports and board motions involving NCBVI operations. And Robert, did I get your comments. Did I satisfy your concerns with that one?
As you read it, I still kind of set myself the facilities. So we're just talking about the offices?
Yeah, physical locations.
Okay, because I'm not sure what else facilities could mean. I was thinking it could mean something more than just a, I don't know, a brick and mortar. I don't know, facilities. All right. Mm-hmm. As well as you guys get it, I still don't like that word. But
We can change the word. Mm-hmm. That's the reason it's up here.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
My question would go to intent. If the intent is that the board members have visited each physical office, then facility may be appropriate. If what you mean is to know about all the different programs, the capacity of the agency, what mm-hmm. all that the agency does, then maybe a different word.
And while it is not a quick, that's a good point. I don't think we've talked about that, so I'd be interested to hear what the rest of the board thinks. I don't think it is a quick thing for the board members to ever make it to all of the offices around the state.
Correct.
There are some that I have yet to be to. And even when we make trips like this one, we're in Norfolk, we've chosen to come here because we wanted to be accessible to our staff. And we have an office here. We didn't get time scheduled this time to make it over to the Norfolk office. So it just, it doesn't happen. So I think it would be a tough thing to say that we want to try to make it, you know, have them be familiar with the physical brick and mortar locations as far as like seeing them and being familiar with them in that way. I think the, in my mind, the intent here is knowing where they are at, knowing we have an office in Norfolk, yes. so that we can discuss that when we're talking to somebody and possibly doing a referral. Mm-hmm. We can be familiar with where we have facilities at. Like you said, being aware of our programs. Hey, you know, you're 17 years old. Are you aware that we have a program in the summer called Wages? And just discuss that a little bit.
Maybe stick a little in parentheses, location of offices and nature of programs.
So we could have this be something like, let me find that again here. And they become familiar with the locations and, I'm sorry, with the programs and office locations of the commission.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's
clear. Sounds
okay.
Good.
That's better, yeah.
Yep. So we're going to change that.
That's good.
Yes. Change. Okay, I will update that, and I will get both of these over to Kathy so that she can include this in the minutes. And then this will be something that
we take action on
actually next time.
Right.
So if there's any other comments that you guys have regarding this, the updates here, you know, we can bring those up and discuss those further next time. And we'll try to make a motion and move on it then next time. Okay. See here, the next item on the agenda was something similar. Discuss the proposal of a memo regarding the retirement and resignation of the executive director.
Excuse me, you missed one.
Did I miss one?
Yep.
I'm sorry.
11:40.
Board
participation in events. Okay. I forgot that one. I apologize. So.
Do you want to read the item again?
Yes. So I guess this is kind of an open discussion for the board a little bit. Discuss board participation in commission events. And I'll start this off by saying that the board has always had an open invitation to participating in any of the activities and meetings and so on of the commission when they feel that it would be beneficial to their role on the board, which is staying informed of the activities and going ons of the commission. Not that we're necessarily trying to set any specific guidelines to that, because I think that would be dangerous to do. I think that there would, what do you guys think is appropriate? What do you guys think about that?
One thought I have is, if you can attend some, go ahead and try. The one thing that I didn't get to do this year, and I wanted to real bad, is I think the state staff meeting, I think, is almost as important as one of the board meetings for us to attend, because, as Robert said in an email, that that's the only time that everyone will be together collectively as a group, and to have that transparency there, and to be able to have conversations and stuff like that. So, but as far as any of the other things, I guess for me to come out and attend just a 2-hour meeting for something from way out west isn't really viable. So that's just my thoughts. Is I feel that the state staff meeting is as important as us being at a board meeting.
I guess a couple thoughts about that too is that, if there is something that you feel particularly strong about that you wanted to attend, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to attend in person. That for instance, I had been asked several times if I would be able to attend one of the blind licensee board meetings.
Right.
And I was able to do that earlier this year, but I did not travel to Omaha to do it. I attended via conference call.
I was planning to do that one too, and then
right.
I didn't get to do that. So,
will I attend every blind licensee meeting going forward? No. But occasionally I think I would like to. It helped me learn a little bit more about them as a group,
right.
what some of their concerns are, how they operate and work within the organization. So it was very beneficial, and I'm glad I was able to participate, and I'm thankful that they asked me to come. So.
And then you've always got the other hand that we've got to look out for too. We don't want to appear as if we're micromanaging one of the programs either, or being too involved, as Robert has stated in an email one time. So
yeah,
I understand that point as well.
That's great, because I was going to make a different, slightly similar but different comment is I'd hate to be attending a meeting of with the staff, for instance, and have them be intimidated by us being there.
Exactly.
To have that interfere with the efforts that they're trying to, with their efforts to accomplish the task at hand. Mm-hmm. If there's a reason for us to be there, absolutely. But that's a concern that I would have is if we were any time attending something like that, is that I don't want to interfere with what they're trying to accomplish.
And this is Becky.
Yeah.
And
here.
Okay.
It's off right now.
All right, thanks.
And I totally agree with our presence at the state staff meeting. Mm-hmm. However, being a teacher, I am glad that there's opportunities in the summer that I can attend. So that is where my focus will be,
okay.
Just because of my job. Okay, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. I know that in my time as a commissioner, I have attended quite a few of the state staff meetings, but at least the last two I've not been able to. We all do this temporary or part-time, I guess. Well, we all have our other, most of us have our other jobs and responsibilities that we have to take care of on a 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and so being able to take time away from that sometimes is difficult, and we can't all, like Becky said, you know, be able to make things like that. So some of those, it's completely understandable.
So, of course, you know, what runs through my mind, I'm trying to figure out how to say without getting too convoluted, whatever. But, you know, when we became a commission, for the longest time, staff, what the hell do they do, those commissioners, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, what can they do, you know? What's their power? They don't do anything, that kind of stuff. So that people just didn't understand how the commissioners fit in. And we are, you know, from the board on through the commission, we're all of one family. We all have the same purpose. We all have a purpose. So so we got to make sure everybody knows that we are of one unit, and that we have our little parts. So we gotta be seen. We gotta be there. So I think, you know, the more we kind of do these things. And we pay attention to what our part is, because we're only Pearl's boss. But at the same time, we got to oversee how things are running. And I would think the staff need to get used to and expect that we are interested enough to see how the programs are running, see that people are happy and they are working well together and stuff. So I don't know. Pearl, and maybe even John could speak to this. Are staff getting used to the fact that there's maybe, that this is happening? I think maybe we commissioners are as the commission board is getting more mature, more whatever, we're getting more seen and more involved in a sense, like oversight type of stuff. I mean, are staff starting to get a good, healthy view of what our part is, and that we're interested, and is there any kind of things going on where people are thinking we're micromanaging, or how's the health of the view of the commission at this board at this point with the picture of the entire agency?
Sure.
Well,
John just stepped out, but
that gives your idea.
Actually, oh. He didn't leave when you started asking.
That's good.
He had left a few minutes before to...
Could be one of those facilities.
Yeah, he'll be back. He left some things here.
Yeah.
And some people.
And some people. Oh, yeah, he's a driver, I guess, today, so he will be back. In general, I would say that the maturity of the board as an entity and even of the agency as a commission-structured entity, those have both really matured, and I do think that most staff are well situated with what the board is about, what you're for, what you do. As in some of the earlier times of when we became a commission and we had state staff meeting, the board would actually have an agenda item to talk about what they were for and to answer questions from the staff, and that served a really good purpose. That's really not so crucial now. Being involved at state staff meetings or coming to work different programs or even just coming to visit different things lets staff know you, lets you know staff. So I from what I know, that things are,
there is a good understanding of the purpose of the board. Whether that's, you know, if there isn't, then I have not heard those rumblings.
Okay.
And actually, I think just to ask a specific staff member might be putting them on the spot, so maybe it's just as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's, the understanding is quite good.
In fact, you, Mark was there, you were there the last staff meeting, mm-hmm. the very last day. You know, Mark, you know, just said some very nice things about how he appreciated what people were doing. He was his first mm-hmm. staff meeting and stuff. Then you asked me if I wanted to say anything. I said, not really, let Mark, you know, whatever they need to hear, you know, from the new guy. But then at the very end, I did say something. Mm-hmm. I guess I wonder, and I really even said these kind of words, you guys. This is the way I remember it. And I'm not, it'd be interesting to see what other people remember, or if they even listen to me. You know, that, you know, I just, you know, that I said, you know, we just really like to see what people are doing to support, because we're all one big family. And that, you know, that we're not, if we go visit programs and stuff, we're not there spying on you guys. We're not going to micromanage you guys. We're Pearl's boss. We're not your boss, but we're part of the whole thing. You know, I said things like that. So I don't know if people, I think usually people listen to what I have to say, because sometimes I can be profound and kind of silly, but...
Yeah, when I mean, that role that you played at the state staff meeting this year was something that we used to do during staff training at the center. We used to always try to take an opportunity to get new staff members on a conference call, talk to them a little bit about what the board commissioners, who we are, what we do, you know, so introduce ourselves, get to know them just a little bit. And some of that had, I guess, the habit of doing that, unfortunately, had kind of fallen away. We weren't doing it. And to be honest, some of those calls were kind of awkward.
Face-to-face is always better,
I yeah, think. And it, yeah. The times when I know I've done that sort of a conversation with new staff members at state staff meeting, it's always been a lot more personable, and when it went over a lot better, I think. And so I know that that's one thing that as a board members, you know, when we do attend state staff meeting, that's something, you know, that we want to try to do, is to make sure we reach out to the new staff members mm-hmm. and speak to them. Another part of this too, I hate to have any of this come down to money, but the commission board, or I'm sorry, the commission does have a budget, mm-hmm. and there is the per diem that is paid to us is factored in there as part of the budget. And so there are things that, you know, there's been some type of a good estimate made of what per diem expenses would be for the board over the course of the year. Just like how they have to factor in their salaries for all the employees of the board or of the commission, and the more events like those that we are participating in, and then if a request were to come in then to be paid per diem, well, for those events, that would affect the budget, you know, what's been budgeted for that type of an expense. So that's something else to keep in mind as well. So I guess I don't want to set any type of rules or anything like that, like, oh, you can only attend these types of things or this many a year, but because maybe there's a time in which it might be appropriate, but just some things to think about, I guess, as we move forward with our jobs and trying to fulfill the responsibilities placed on us, to try to keep some of those things in mind.
Maybe we can just state it as maybe an attempt to participate in at least one event per semester.
Yeah.
Quarter or whatever.
We could definitely look at that as a, in the, because I was thinking of it as a limit. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to set a limit, mm-hmm. but if you wanted to take that the other way and as an encouragement to try to participate in
at least
one or two events a year or mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I hear all that, but they're just the cost of business. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it helps with morale for them to see us, mm-hmm. because I know that, you know, the licensing thing, they're always asking me, come on to our meetings. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not sure what their agenda is, though it's a healthy one, I'm sure, mm-hmm. In terms of why they would want, you know, to be a request in a sense, you mm-hmm. know. So it must be doing something for them, too. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
Okay.
I don't want to be a per diem hog, that's for sure. But there's just a cost of doing business.
Sure, there is.
Be respectful, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like I'm going to drive across the state every other week to come for, you know, something, and like you say, be a per diem hog and mileage hog.
Right. But anyway, we can talk about this more sure. later. We're not necessarily acting on anything today. But just wanted to bring it up for discussion, and we can continue to talk about this more in the future.
Okay.
So the next item on the agenda was to discuss a possible memo or policy that would be. Regarding the retirement or resignation of the executive director. And where this came from was that there has recently been, I think one existed, but it was just updated, right? For the staff mm-hmm. in general.
Yes.
And that's been sent to us via email. And we are trying to prepare for the eventuality that Dr. Van Zandt might decide to retire at some point in the future. And so we thought that it would be appropriate to have a similar document that we pass to her. And so a draft of that type of a memo, I'll read it, I have in front of me that I'll read, and if the board has any discussion on that, that'd be appreciated, and then if you know we'll act on this at another meeting. But what a draft of this document reads: while the position of the executive director of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired does not fall under the standard policies of the State of Nebraska Department of Administrative Services Division of State Personnel, the Board of Commissioners does try to be fair and honorable in its requests of the individual holding this position. While the NCBVI policy regarding timely notice of resignation or retirement asks that administrators give 1 month notice prior to resigning or retiring, the NCBVI Board of Commissioners feels that due to the requirements of the person holding the position of executive director, that it will take substantially longer for a search committee to fill this position. For this reason, we would request that the executive director provide 12 months notice prior to retirement. Being that the executive director is still expected to perform all of their normal duties during the time of transition, the Board of Commissioners will not restrict the executive director from traveling or attending conferences as needed during their final months in the position. The Board of Commissioners also understands that 12 months notice is not practical in the event that the executive director might wish to resign. If it is the intent of the executive director to resign from their position, the Board of Commissioners would request that 60 days notice be given. During this period, the Board of Commissioners would name an interim executive director. Once an interim executive director has been named, both individuals are asked to work together to ensure as smooth of a transition as possible while the Board of Commissioners begins the search process for a permanent replacement. Failure to provide prior written notice to the Board of Commissioners in the amount of time outlined above, outlined above may be considered as separated, not in good standing. If written notice is given less than 10 working days prior to resignation or retirement, the individual will be presented with a letter notifying them that they may not be eligible for rehire in the event application is made for reemployment at a future date. The typo in here was instead of above, I have about. So
okay.
Need to fix that. But other than that, does the board have any questions or comments about the draft proposal here? Things that may need to be added or concerns about what's there?
Yeah, I got just a couple comments.
Hang on,
if I could.
Since the air is okay. Going, let's use this.
I'll try not to be too loud.
How's that, Dan? Okay. A couple things. I really think the 10-day advance notice for the staff, I think, is very good, and that's probably a business-appropriate notice. And certainly if they don't give that appropriate notice, I would think we would want not to hire them again. So I'm full in agreement with that. Also, if an executive director resigns, I think 60 days notice is a good number. I do have a little concern about the year's notice. I think the more time that we have when an executive director resigns, the better. I would hate to, if Dr. Van Zandt, you know, in her years of service, something has changed in her life that she's at a point where she could retire if she wanted to, and I don't want us to hold her back if there's something that she needs to take care of in her business. So I think she cares as much about the commission as we do, and I think if she can give us a year's notice, I think she would, but I don't want to be in the position where she has some type of life event that she has the opportunity to retire and take care of other things in life and hold her back. So I don't know how we say that, but I don't know if we can mandate it. We can certainly, we need to be kind of pliable as far as on a case-by-case basis.
My reply to that would be that the way this is worded is that failure to, I'll just reread this and I'm going to emphasize one word in here. Failure to provide prior written notice to the Board of Commissioners in the amount of time outlined, and I'm saying above, not about, and then it says may be considered as separated, not in good standing. So it is not saying that we will do this.
Okay.
It is saying that we may do this, so it is left up to some discretion.
I guess what I'm trying to say, Dr. Zandt, we appreciate all you've done, and I know you want the transition to go well, but we also care about you after you leave, so we want to work with you.
I appreciate that.
Any other comments or concerns or?
Well, it sounds workable.
Okay, I will make the one small typo correction and get this to Kathy, so that will also be included in the minutes. And this is something that we can act on then at our next meeting. Okay.
Mike.
Yes.
When may I make my request?
Oh, yes. Just one moment here.
Oh,
At the end of the meeting, we usually will ask if there's any new business to come before the board, but I know of one topic. I don't think that this is out of order. Kathy, stop me if it is, but Becky has a request for the board.
I am seeking or requesting approval from the board for assistance to attend the National Federation of the Blind National Convention in Florida this summer.
Okay. And the Board of Commissioners has a policy in place that where we will we can seek permission from the agency to provide assistance for us to attend a certain number of conferences during our term, and it's always dependent on the amount of assistance, and if it can be provided is always based on whether or not it's possible through the budget of the commission at the time. But the first part of that would be to ask the board if that's something that, you know, we'd support. And so I would ask for if there's any questions or comments. If not, I would ask for a motion from the board to support her attendance at the NFB National Convention.
Yeah, so we'll be supporting this, Becky.
Do I hear a second?
This request.
I'll say.
Okay. I'll do a roll call vote. Becky?
Abstain.
Mark?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Chad?
Yes.
Mike? Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. And with that, then, I believe we are to our second public comment time.
Good time.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
As I see if anybody got the microphone, I can bring it to people. But may I also mention, to follow up on Becky's request,
yes,
the November 2016 meeting of the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind is something that board members have attended in the past spring or fall.
Okay.
The fall one in November is in San Diego.
Okay.
And I don't have information yet, but that might be something you all could be thinking about that you would need to request at the end of July meeting.
Sure. Could you send us some information on that if you have any?
I don't have any yet, okay, but when I get it, I can let you know.
Okay. Or even if, perhaps if we don't have any information, we're going to answer your question. We're going to be done in like 5 minutes. Dr. Van Zandt, if you could provide, leading up to our the next meeting,
yes,
if we don't have information yet about it, maybe provide us some information about the last one.
Yes, yes.
So that we can get some good ideas of what we would expect.
Very good point.
I will.
Okay.
I did.
Okay. So with nothing else, then moving on to our next public comment period. I'll take a list of names of anybody who would like to speak.
Dan Bird.
Gwen Helm.
Gwen.
And Jim.
Can I go in order of?
Yes, please.
I just had a comment based on what you said about wanting the executive director to give a prolonged request to retire.
Sure.
While, yes, it would be lovely, and I do understand it's written where she doesn't really have to.
Right.
How is that going to look for the next person coming into that job when they see that? It could be a determination of them going, well, that's a little extreme. So while it looks good on paper for you, mm-hmm, might not for the next person, so you might want to consider knocking that down quite a bit or wording it where we would appreciate a year, mm-hmm, but 3 months would be really needed.
A little wiggle room there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because, you know, Pearl may be here another 10 years, mm-hmm. we wish, mm-hmm. but at the same time,
right.
the next person, you know, you don't want to take the better ones that we have a chance for okay. and push them away right away.
Absolutely.
Good point.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Good point.
When would the person even see this document?
Well, if this is passed on to, or if this, whatever version or rendition of this is approved, we will send it as a memo of policy to Dr. Van Zandt, and it will be included in our files, I guess, related to the position of executive director. So. At the time at which she were to retire and we hire somebody else, it would be something that would be given to the new holder of that position.
Right. Would they get it during the application process?
No.
After they were hired?
Well,
information packet about the job?
I mean, if they were to come forward and ask about it, I'm surely we would. But, mm-hmm. I mean, just as an example, anybody applying for a position at any business probably isn't given the employee handbook at the time of application. So something like this would need to be disclosed, but it would be generally something like this would be disclosed after the fact.
Also, it only takes a minute to quit after you cotton, right?
Sure.
I hear what you say. I'll just add though that
since it's being decided upon in public meeting, somebody applying for this position will hopefully, if they're qualified, have read, you know, have gone through the minutes of the board meetings in the previous year or two, so it would be known. It's public knowledge.
Yeah. Due diligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it would ran through my, but that's, I really appreciate that comment. I was just thinking just of Dan's comments, to, you know, that anyone smart enough for this job, if they read that, they'd probably see that May in there. You know, that, anyway.
Yeah. And you know, I'll just say that having not ever had to go through the process of hiring a new executive director, I'm a little gun shy to make the determination of how long we think that might take. That's something that this document is evidence of it. This is something that we're starting to look at. We're starting to try to plan for, because we know at some point in time this will happen. And what would that hiring process look like? Where would we go to advertise? All of those types of things to try to get a better idea of, you know, what would that process be? And maybe 6 months would be enough. So I appreciate the comment.
Yes, this is Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Heaven forbid, hopefully nothing drastic will happen as far as a life change to where Pearl would no longer be able to work. But if something like that does happen, is there somebody that, like a person that just takes over, kind of like a lieutenant governor type thing? Or, you know, I was just curious because, you know, you have to have somebody in there, you know, if something would happen, and hopefully nothing will happen.
Sure. I can answer that. The organizational structure of the Commission for the Blind does have deputy directors in position today, and in the event that something were to happen that Dr. Van Zandt was left suddenly for, you know, whatever the circumstances are, whether it be a resignation or whatever it is, the board would come forward and name an interim director. And so for instance, the deputy directors today have different responsibilities, but as an organizational structure are at an equal level, the board would come forward and name an interim executive director to oversee a transition process.
Thank you for answering my question.
And Mike, if I could add, didn't we talked at one time about involving Dr. Van Zandt in a discussion like that, what would happen if she's no longer able to fulfill her duties? Has that happened, or will we be able to do that?
We can do that. I would never do that in. I don't think I would ever do that in public forum.
No, absolutely not.
But just because, and the only reason I say that is that that is a personnel matter, and for that reason, generally all personnel issues are in executive session. So.
Well, I guess I was going to say, well, don't worry about it, Gwen. We got a plan.
So. And, I hope I didn't overstep.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
I just overstepped.
No.
Good question.
Yep.
Very good question.
Mm-hmm.
When you said it was executive, I thought, oh, God.
Nope.
Yep.
I do that all the time, Gwen. That's why I got the mic next. Dan kind of said what I was thinking initially. You know, 12 months is an extremely amount of time to give someone a quote-unquote farewell tour. Look how many times Cher has been on her farewell tour. You know, not that we're trying to get rid of Pearl or anything, because Pearl's doing a good job, so we appreciate that. The other thing that I think that we need to look at very closely, a couple of years ago, Robert and I did a job description for the position of executive director, and I don't know if that's when's being used or going to be used or if it was revised or what have you. But one of the things we didn't look at was, at least Robert and I didn't look at, was starting salary for the executive director. Mm-hmm. And I have an idea of what Pearl makes. I'm just doing some quick math in my head. I won't disclose that publicly, but I can guarantee you, if we want somebody that is competent and can do the job as well as Pearl, you're going to have to bump up the starting salary significantly from what she's making now. Mm-hmm. Because, and no disrespect, and I mean nothing negative by it, I don't think I would apply for the job if I were qualified given her salary. So just keep that in mind. We need to come up with a starting salary for the next executive director before we even post the position. I agree with that. I'd like to make a motion to give her a 15% raise. You know, I can't do that, but no, I agree with that. Just food for thought, though.
Okay. I'm not going to ask for it today, but I'll let you know the thought that's going through my head. And this is something, when we met for, we didn't really have a lot of discussion on this because it wasn't appropriate at the time, but when we went through the retreat and we were talking about the job responsibilities of the commission board, one of the, you know, I did state, you know, what might be some hot topics in the, you know, in your term as a board member. And this was one of the ones that I mentioned. What I have thought about and is that, and this is a topic that's being thought about, I apologize, I'm drawing a blank for the term I want to use. We have the staff has a committee for this now.
Succession
planning.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So succession planning. And I mean, so the agency as a whole is looking at this. How are we going to continue to keep our staff trained? How, you know, what are the goals of our staff? Can we help develop our staff, which will only help our the agency going forward, you know, with staff retention and so on. You know, as a commission board, we need to look at succession planning. And again, this document is a start of that, but I think that I would almost like to see a regular topic on our agenda be succession planning, just as today where we created an audit committee to start looking at what might be needed in that area. That we have a succession planning committee that would continue to work through this process. what would a job hiring process be for a new executive director? Going back and looking at the job description that we still use today, Jim, by the way, that you wrote, that you and Robert wrote, as part of the new evaluation process that we use for the executive director, this is what, when you guys wrote that, you know, is that adequate? Does it meet the needs of the current agency today? You know, looking at things about salary, maybe, you know, just when you wrote that, when you guys wrote that executive director job description, you seeked input from other states. You know, maybe, you know, we need to maybe look at the same thing for a starting salary. So really start to plan that. Go ahead, that's fine.
I wanted to include a salary in that document initially, and I got nixed on that because Julie said it was a job description, not a job posting.
I'd agree with that.
Which she's right. And I have a thought on what the starting salary should be, too, and I don't mind throwing the number out in public, but I guarantee you, you know, if you want somebody competent and qualified, you need to bump the salary up considerably more than what Pearl's getting now. So.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Was there anybody else that had any comments at this time? Okay. Final announcements. I apologize. I don't have it up here in front of me. I wanted to say that when our next board meeting was going to be, because I'm going to give final announcements now, which it's not the end of the meeting, but the reason we're doing that is so that because. We are going to, the only remaining thing is that we are going to vote to enter into executive session to do Dr. Van Zandt's annual review. When we are done with that, we will come out of executive session and we will announce our findings, our decision, and then at that point in time, we'll adjourn the meeting. And if anyone does not, and I completely understand this, if anyone does not want to sit around out in the hallway waiting for 2 hours for us to get from now to then.
2 hours?
Well, lunch and other things.
Oh.
Then I completely understand that, and you guys would be welcome to leave.
So, Jen, can I leave?
Unless you came with the recorder.
That would be a no.
Okay. So, 1 second here. I am bringing up the...
July 23rd.
Was it July 23rd?
Yeah.
Thank
July.
You. Okay.
North Platte.
So our next meeting is going to be July 23rd in North Platte, Nebraska. The topic was dealing with technology.
Apps.
Thank you. I guess I don't have any other announcements at this time, unless there's somebody else has anything. Okay.
Can we talk about the meetings after that or not?
Oh, sure. Yeah. For one moment.
Would that be November?
Okay. So I have the I brought up the meeting minutes, some previous meeting minutes here where I had some notes. So yes, the next meeting was July 23rd, North Platte, technology trends and apps. The following that, then November, our meeting schedule is November 5th, 2016, in Omaha. Tentatively, we were planning on having the focus topic be youth and adult training programs. However, we've been told that might be a bad weekend for us to do that focus topic for our transition staff member, who would ultimately probably be very involved in that presentation of the focus topic. So that might get, we might shuffle around the focus topics here. I don't have a date written down for our February meeting. typically we always try to do the first Saturday of the month. So I would say that tentatively it's February, the first Saturday in February 2017, and we had down as a focus topic website, social media, brochures, etc. And where that's kind of coming from is the if you listening to the report from the executive director, there's been a lot of work on and efforts to on our presence in social media and websites and brochures, and we're interested in getting an update of where that's going and how that's working. We'll need to touch base with our transition staff member, but perhaps those two topics will get flip-flopped.
I think that would probably be a very good idea.
Okay.
To switch those. I don't know what's going on February 4th yet, but it seems reasonable that you can switch those.
That's my birthday.
Okay. If there's not anything else, then that's all the announcements that I had, and I'd say that we can I don't want to say adjourn, but we will we'll pause for lunch. So. Morning now. Okay. Welcome back from our lunch pause, and we are going to move on to the Executive Director's Annual Review. This is going to be done in executive session. Do I hear a motion to move into the executive session to perform the annual review for the Executive Director?
So moved.
So moved. Second?
Second.
Second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we'll move into executive session for the Executive Director's Annual Review. Roll call vote. Becky?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Chad?
Yes.
And I say yes. So need to notate the time.
Time is
1:13.
1:15.
Okay.
Or 1:15.
And we'll pause the recording. Actually, I'm going to ask Dan just to take the recorder with him.
Okay.